Eight rules to fighting fair. We'll go to rule number one. Rule number one, don't go looking for a fight. Remember, we covered that, and there's all the passages. So the first rule of how to fight fair is that you don't go looking for a fight. And then number two, try to defuse the situation. And so we talked about, listen, when it comes to fighting, the what you really want to do is you want to defuse it. And Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. And so the whole goal to the fight when it comes is you want to defuse it. You want to bring it down to where it's godly and where you can discuss it and where it would be. You know, because I'm going to tell you, the truth is, it's okay to fight. Amen? It really is. I mean, it's okay to fight as long as you keep the fight godly and you take that fight and you bring it to a good fruition, a good purpose, and that's okay. It's when it all becomes ungodly that it really becomes bad. Number three, listen before you speak. You know, so many people, they are always ready for their rebuttal. They're always ready to come back with their answer that they're not even hearing what the other person is saying. And so what I'm challenging you to do is listen. Hey, you know what? Let me hear what you have to say. Look them in the eye and say, okay, you have my undivided attention. The funny thing is, when I do that to people, they'll go, oh, you freak me out. Don't look me in the eyes. And I'm like, really? You make me feel like I'm some sort of monster or something. And they go, oh, no, you just have those, like, really dark, intimidating eyes. And I'm like, thanks for the weapon. Yeah. You know, but look them in the eye and look them in the eye with the intent of listening, not with the anticipation of waiting for the attack. Okay? There's a huge difference. And so you, number three was listen before you speak. And you know, listen, everybody wants to be heard, you know, even when you talk, you want to be heard. And so extend that to the person you're fighting with. And by the way, these eight rules for fighting are not just for married couples. This is what you can extend and what you can practice for every human being that you come in conflict with. You extend this to them, these eight rules of fair fighting, you extend it to them. I was watching, of course, you guys know I like UFC, and so I was watching a match, I think about 2 weeks ago, and you know, as professionals, and these guys are professionals, they'll spend 25 minutes in the ring pounding on each other, and then at the end, man, they're like high-fiving and hugging each other, going, man, good fight, good job. It's not a personal thing. And so what happens, though, is in the beginning of the fight, what they do is they come out, and they will touch gloves, right? So they got it up there, and they just hey or whatever, and they touch gloves. Well, this one guy, they come out, and he goes to touch gloves, and so he does a high five like that, and the guy went to put his foot up and then kicked him. And I thought, man, you know what? That's a cheap shot. I hope you get your butt kicked today. And so, right? Because nobody likes cheap shots, right? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen, right? We don't, and so, and when you see it, you're like, really? That was so cheap. Why would you do that? And he did. He lost the fight. Yes. And so, anyway, it was good. That brings me to number four. Number four is keep it clean. Listen, guys, no cheap shots, no name calling, no personal insults, no belittling, no exaggerated statements. You know, you need to keep it clean. And it's what I call no verbal sucker punching, right? How many have ever given out verbal sucker punches? Yeah, right? We attack and we insult and we look to hurt. And the whole reason we're looking to hurt is because we want to win this, and that's not keeping it clean. And so you have to be really, really careful and keep it clean. All right. So then that brings us to number five. And so number five is where we pick it up this morning. And number five is stick to the subject at hand. Now, I'm going to say this. Typically, ladies, you will have an issue with this. And here's why. I'm not trying to be offensive, and I don't want you sitting there going, oh, I don't like this already. And the men are going, shut up and listen. So listen. Stick to the subject at hand. So many times, the ladies will go, well, you remember 25 years ago. I'll never forget it. You wounded me so deeply. And then you go on with this thing at 25 years ago. And the guy's going, what are you talking about? I can't believe you don't remember.
I'm so hurt.
25 years ago, you said, and then you go on. Stick to the subject at hand. And of course, men, you can do it too, because some of you are whiners and you can go there. But I'm just telling you, stick to the subject at hand. Proverbs 16:27. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. An ungodly man digs up evil. Don't go back in time. Don't look for something to pull out. Deal with the subject at hand. And when you deal with the subject at hand, listen, you need to resolve that subject. You need to, when it is at hand and you are dealing with it, you cannot just go, we'll talk about it later. How many go, we'll talk about it later, and you never talk about it later, right? Right? Some of you are going, How many times do we do that? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you don't resolve the issue, if you don't keep to the subject and deal with it, that subject never goes away. And so you have to stick to the subject at hand. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Proverbs 17:9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Get that? He who repeats a matter separates friends. When you bring up the past, when you bring up things that should have been taken care of, dealt with, and buried back in the past where the past belongs, when you bring that up, it literally is like a poison. And what does it do? It separates friends. And what he's really saying is it divides the relationship. I don't know about you, but there have been times where things have been brought up in the past, and I go, that's a long time ago. I thought we settled that. And then what you find out, it really wasn't settled. And it's brought out as a tool. It's like, and I'm going to say this. Listen now, you got to hear this. If you have an argument about a situation and you're done with that argument and then you say, okay, I forgive you. Right? I forgive you. The moment you say, I forgive you, you immediately imply, I will never use this against you again. Isn't that what I forgive you means? I forgive you literally means that this is something that I can use to hurt you. But when I forgive you, I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to cast it away because I can never use it again to hurt you. I can never bring it up again. This is no longer a weapon allowed on the table to be used in a fight. And then people go, well, I forgive you. And then they bring it up. Well, here's what it is. You didn't forgive them, and now you're just aiming to hurt somebody. And I'm telling you, forgiveness means forgetting that you have that as a weapon because you no longer have it. Now, I'm not telling you to forget what hurt you because that's pretty hard to do, amen? But forgiveness says, I can no longer use that as a weapon. Now, I'll give you a beautiful example. You guys know I'm very transparent, probably to a fault, to be quite honest with you. Does anybody think it's warm in here, or is it just me? All right, I got 5 hands that say it's warm. The rest are comfortable. Oh, I got some other. I got others going to get a coat. Hold on. Here's what I'm going to do. All right. So when it kicks on, it kicks on. Okay. So, before I was saved, everybody already got their blankets out. Praise God. So before I got saved, I was really a nasty guy. I really was. I verbally, I had no concern for you, and I would dice you up verbally. Physically, if that's the route you wanted to take, I had no problem going that route. I was just really not a nice guy. And I said some things to my wife that I know hurt her deeply. And then we ended up separating. We didn't divorce. We separated. And when we separated, I said some things in the process of separating, and I wanted out, and of course that hurt her. And it was just a whole I mean, it was you know, anybody who's ever been through divorce is such an ugly process. Anybody that knows anybody who's been through divorce is such an ugly process, and so many people get hurt. Well, we were separated for almost 2 years, and then I ended up getting saved. As a matter of fact, Friday, what was the date Friday? 2nd. Friday made 21 years that I had received Christ. 21 years I've been sober, 21 years I've been drug-free, 21 years I've been free from bondage of the world and the past that I had lived in. So Friday made 21 years ago that my entire life changed. And that was in October, obviously, October 2nd of 1994. And then December, my wife and I, we renewed our vows. And I can honestly tell you, in 21 years, my wife has never reminded me of what I put her through. What a gift. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, I really hurt my wife. And in 21 years, she has never reached back in that toolbox and pulled that out to hurt me or to use it against me. Stick to the subject at hand. Do not go into the past. Digging up the past by keeping a record of wrongs is wrong. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, it's talking about love. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. And that's really what it is. When you stick to the subject at hand and you don't dig up the past, this is what you're doing. You are extending love. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. And so if you really love that person, you're not going to take the past and use that as a weapon to hurt them. You are going to go, you know what, that was then, this is now, this is a whole new argument, a whole new subject, a whole new topic, and then you keep it at hand and you deal with it, and you do not go in the past. And most people, the reason they want to go in the past is because they've not forgiven, they've not let go of the hurt, they're still looking to hurt their loved one, and so they won't let go of the past because they refuse to let go of the weapons that they know can scar each other. And what I'm telling you is, number 5, rule for fair fighting is stick to the subject at hand. Extend love. Show love. And I don't even care if it's to your enemy, because what are we to do with our enemies? Love our enemies. Stick to the conflict that is at hand, the subject at hand. Number 6. Number 6, know when to stop. I was counseling a couple, and this was about 8 months ago, about a year ago now. Wow, time flies. And they were talking to me, and they were telling me how, literally, she was sharing with me how he would fight constantly. He wouldn't let it go. And she said, you know, and he was right there. He didn't deny it. And she said, you know, he fought with me. He wouldn't let me sleep. He wouldn't let me do anything for 21 hours straight. He fought with me. 21 hours. I did all I could to end it. I just wanted to go to sleep. I was tired of it. I was tired of him screaming in my ear. I was tired of him getting right in my face and screaming in my face for 21 hours. He kept it going. I'm thinking, 21 hours, man, I'm going to jail because I'm going to stop you. You know what I'm saying? Like, this, I can't take it. You drove me to insanity. All right, don't go there. But know when to stop. James 4:1. Now listen to this. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Why will you not stop the fight? Why will you not take care of it? Why will you not allow this fight to end? Know when to stop. You know why? It's because on the inside you are being evil. On the inside that you're being sinful. And you just want to war. And I'm going to tell you, it is so destructive. So destructive. And for this person, you don't care if it's your spouse. You don't care if it's your children. You are just looking for a fight. And the reason that you're looking for a fight is because there's something going on inside of you. You have an unforgiving spirit that's sinful and it's wrong. You're looking for a fight because for some reason you're so insecure with yourself that you got to dominate every situation. That's sinful and it's wrong. It is on the inside. Look, do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members, that war within you? It comes from insecurity. It comes from lack of love. It comes from obviously being hurt and not dealing with it. And so you just want to keep it going and keep it going and keep it going. And number six says, know when to stop. Proverbs 20, verse 3. Look here. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. It is honorable for you to stop fighting. Honorable. Do you hear what the scriptures are saying? It's honorable for you to stop, but you know what? If you don't, you're a fool. And you go, don't call me a fool. I didn't. God did. I'm just delivering the message. Amen. There's nothing, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing worse than somebody who wants to keep an argument going. Man, does it not wear on you? Does it not just dry you up? Solomon said in Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. That means, be quiet. Say what you got to say and bring it to an end. Amen. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of the fools pours forth foolishness. Be wise. Say what you got to say. Be quiet. Do not drag it on. Do not wear somebody out with your insecurity of having to be in control and having to win. Because I'm going to tell you, you didn't win. All you did was destroy the person that you were aiming at. You cut them down. You chewed them up. You spit them out. You broke their spirit. You caused angst in their heart against you. You didn't win anything. Nobody wins when we fight. And we don't stop because we have to win. Proverbs 15:27. He who has knowledge spares his words. No? Am I not there? 15:27? Or did I miss 15:2? 15:2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of the fools pours forth. Go to Proverbs 17:27. My apologies. Proverbs 17:27. He who has knowledge spares his words. And look here. A man of what? Understanding. Look at the words that God is using. Wise. Wisdom. Has understanding. Intelligent. Versus the fool, right? Or one who is devoid of wisdom. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. If you can't be calm in the fight, and you can't say what you have to say and bring it to an end, well, number one, you don't have knowledge, you don't have understanding, and you have a wicked, sinful spirit. I'm not saying this. God is saying this. And so, guys, listen, when we fight, it's okay to fight. It's okay to bring it in. But you got to know when to stop. Proverbs 26:20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Do you hear what God's saying? If you keep feeding the fire, it's going to keep burning. But if you quit feeding the fire, it goes out. If you be quiet, it goes away. The strife stops. I'm not telling you to be quiet and ignore the fight. But what I am saying is there comes a time when it gets so repetitive. Have you ever known somebody that just keeps saying the same thing over and over and over again? And you're like, really, man, just be quiet. You have nothing else to say. We're done. And I tell you, when I used to counsel people or we'd have a discussion and the minute they started repeating their argument, I would tell them we're done. Because now we're going back and we're going in a circle and I'm not interested in the circle. We're done. Give me something new or this is over. I'm not going to stay there and argue and fight with you. And I love texting now, right? Because in texting, people will say to me things in a text that they would never look me in the eye and say. Ever. And I'll get these texts and I'll read them. I know you guys have been there. You go, really? Okay. Well, you know what? But here's what I do. Are you ready? When I get a text from somebody asking a really silly question or insinuating I'll get, my wife said, or my husband said, that you said, da 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 da. Well, I'm not going to respond. Call me. Say, hey, Pastor, love to have a meeting with you so we can discuss this. I'm in. But you text me garbage and you're attacking me in a text, I am not going to answer it. Because you know why a text can be misconstrued so bad? It is unbelievable. We'll look each other in the eye and we'll talk about it. But I'm not throwing wood on a fire. You understand what I'm saying? Don't throw wood on the fire. If you want the strife to cease, say what you got to say and be quiet. Know when to stop. I think that this is one of the most important keys to learning how to fight fair. Titus 3:10-11. The Apostle Paul, he describes those who keep on fighting as warped and sinful. Look here at Titus 3:10-11. It says in 3:10, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. Knowing, in other words, this is factual, it's not going to change, that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Reject a divisive man. So what it's really saying is to reject a divisive person. Well, we don't like being ignored. Don't you ignore me. Don't you walk away from me. Do you hear I'm talking to you? Are you listening to me? Right? How many have ever heard that before? Amen. Yeah. How many have ever said that before? Right? And then inside you're going, just go away. Okay, maybe that's all I say. Just go away. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinning. Do you guys get that? If you're the one that is constantly pushing, 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 I'm telling you, you are warped and you are sinning. Stop it. Just stop it. I know, and you'll go, well, you don't understand. I do understand. The Word of God doesn't say, warped and sinning, if they're constantly pushing, it's okay. He says, just stop it. It's kind of like in Ephesians where it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And if you look right after that, guess what is there? A period. Not if she deserves it. Not if she shows herself lovable. Not if she is finely dressed and finely tuned and finely whatever. It doesn't say that. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Period. Wives, submit to your husbands. Uh-oh, you ready? Period. It doesn't say, respect him if he deserves it. It doesn't say honor him if he's worthy of your honor. It says to honor them, respect them, love them, submit to them, period. And see, we think, well, they don't deserve it. I'm sure there's some things you don't deserve that you're getting or not getting that you should be getting. See, the Word of God is pretty clear, and we want what we want. And so by going after it, by not knowing when to stop, we think we're actually going to accomplish it. But I'm going to tell you, the only thing you're accomplishing is separation. That's all you're accomplishing. Because men, ladies, your wives, I don't want to get ladies and wives mixed up again. Men, your wives need your love. That is their security. They need to know that you love them. And if you are attacking them, attacking is not loving. Do you understand me? Ladies, your husband needs your approval. Not approval to do things, but the approval in the way that says, I am with you, I am behind you, I am for you. Listen, you're my hero. Let's go. I am supporting you. I am proud of you. Men, how many of you really want that from your wives? Come on, this is your time, men. Come on, right? You got to help me out here or else I look silly. Men, how many really want that from your wives? Absolutely we do. You know why? Because if my wife came up and she started going, honey, you so handsome and rugged and, ooh, strong. I'm like, what do you want? I'll get it. Right? That's what we want. Amen. I'm thinking, man, look, she used to rub her. I'm getting excited. See? She used to go play with my hair, you know. Now she just scratches my head. And so, but listen, when my wife comes up to me and she loves on me, I'm in. It's like, what? Too many people falling asleep. I got to turn on the air. What do you want? I'll give it to you. Because that's what we want as men is we really, listen, nothing else matters except for our wives that love us and think that we're the man. And boy, when we have that, we can become the men that we need to be. And if we're the men that we need to be, she'll love us the way we want to be loved or respect or honor us if we love them the way God says to love them. See, we both have to do our part for this to happen. Number seven, seek a resolution. Do not fight just to fight. Listen, don't argue for the sake of arguing. There is nothing worse, nothing. My father's wife, I'm trying to be respectful here because I don't think much of her. She's passed away now, and I'm not going to talk ugly about her, but I will be truthful. She was a contentious woman. Oh my goodness. I don't know of any woman ever in my life that I just wanted to run over with a truck. Okay, how many know people that you'd like to do that to? All right, don't look at me like you're all shocked. Pastor said that. I said what you were thinking. I told you I'm very transparent, very honest. I'll say this, I never did it. I'm just saying. And she would fight just to fight. Man, my dad would come through the door and she would be on him like a hound dog. And I literally mean a hound dog because he'd walk in the door and she'd be like, I'm like, have you been around another woman? He's like, no. Are you sure? You smell anything? This woman was always looking for a fight. She didn't have a resolution to get. She just wanted to fight. And their marriage was so tumultuous, and everybody paid a price for that. Everybody paid a price. Do you know why? He was always angry because there was no resolution in that house. There was no peace in that house, and so he was always angry, and I seemed to be the object of his anger because apparently I could take whatever he dished out. And I'm just going to tell you, there were times that I couldn't take it. And then she would constantly be yelling and screaming at everybody all the time. It never ended. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, man, what is going on? Somebody just take her out back and tie her up and we'll be done. Amen. I know you guys think I'm being ugly, but I'm not. I'm being honest. That was my thought. And I wasn't saved, so you got to extend grace. Amen. The one who doesn't want to resolve a fight doesn't fight fair. Let's look at Proverbs 17:1. Proverbs 17:1. It says here, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Has anybody ever eaten a dry piece of bread and you're trying to get it down? And you swallow that piece of bread 18 times, but it doesn't seem to go but like right there, and it just stops, and you're going, right? And before you know it, you get the hiccups because it's kind of trapped part of your airway. Anybody been there, right? Okay, that's what it's talking about, this dry morsel. I don't know about you, but it is miserable to eat a dry piece of bread. Miserable. And it says, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Guys, I'm telling you, you fight to seek a resolution. Do not keep it going. Do not just keep replaying the tape over and over and over and over. Seek a resolution. Proverbs 15:16-17 says this, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. And you say, why did I pull that up? Because when you are constantly fighting and you're not seeking resolution, that's what it is. It is hatred. It is contention. It is sinful. And you need to stop. Look at Proverbs 21:9. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. And you say, why'd you bring that up? Well, because the Bible has it and is fitting if you're a contentious woman. The truth is, ladies, your husband does not want to fight with you. It is in us to want to protect you. It is in us to want to serve you. It is in us to want to love you. But if you are a contentious woman, you make that very difficult. And God says, you know what? It's better to go up onto the rooftop and just hang out by yourself. Or no. And by the way, up there, the rooftop would have the bathtub up there. That's how they'd heat their water up. The rooftop, they'd go up on there and sun themselves and be in the day. So you know, the rooftop was always accessible. I know for us it isn't always accessible, but then it was. So understand when he says better for you to dwell on the rooftop, it's because you could actually get on the rooftop and it had purpose. But he's saying it's better to go there than to be in a house with a contentious woman. Look here in Proverbs 21:19. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Ladies, let me say this, and I'm not saying that you're part of the problem, but you are, because the men are the other half of the problem. But ladies, please understand, you have so much control in your household. And you can control that household just as much as the man can. And you can make it a sweet place or you can make it an ugly place. And if you go to the verse, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman, you don't see those statements being made toward men. So what I want you to see is that you really have the power to do a lot of damage. Please control that. Please control that. Husbands, do not be a derelict. Don't. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. What does that look like? Because, you know, he says in Ephesians, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And then we say, oh, okay. So what does that look like? It looks like you are willing to die for her. Isn't that what Christ did? Listen, Christ took care of the church. He fed the church. Does he not feed us every day? Does he not love us every day? Does he not supply our needs every day? That's what Christ did for the church, the bride. And so the husband should do the same thing for the wife, and the husband should be willing to die for her. Not walk around talking about her, not running her into the dirt, listen, he should be willing to say, "You are my prized possession," and then take care of her as such. And she'll love you. She'll respect you, because that's really what the men want anyway. They want the respect from their wives. Amen? Yes, men? Ladies, you want to be loved by your husbands. Amen? Yes? Come on, join in with me. Hello? I'm trying to help you here. If you don't raise your hand, your husband's going to go, "Well, she don't want it, so I'm out." Get in there. I'm giving you props. I'm giving you a time to talk without actually talking. Amen? If you enter into an argument with the goal of resolving the issue, then you'll fight fair, and you'll continue to love one another, and you'll make progress, and life will be good. You have to go into an argument with the idea that you are trying to resolve the issue. And let me tell you this, for every issue you do not resolve and you let it go, it will become a ticking time bomb. Yes? Well, you know why? Because you didn't forgive it. You didn't let it go. There's no resolution. It wasn't resolved. And we need resolution. We need things to come to an end. And if it's not come to an end, guess what you're going to do? You're not going to stick to the things at hand, and you're going to bring up the past. You're going to do it. And then you're going to get angry at one another. And men typically just want to shut off. Men are like, "Oh, yeah, whatever." Don't do that. Have the discussion, a godly discussion. Don't try to hurt your wives. Wives, don't try to hurt your husband. Love one another. Bring it to a resolution so that you can go to bed and life is good. Because I don't know about you, but I am in 100% agreeance, acceptance, and I love conflict resolution at bedtime. Somebody say amen. All right, you get what I'm saying. I'm trying to keep it right, guys. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that makeup time. Bring it to a resolution and then just love each other. You guys are looking at me like I fell off. Is my hair sticking up? What? Like, you guys look at me like I'm a freak? Hey, you can look at it. I'm just telling you, it's good stuff. Bring it to a resolution. It has an ending, and then you guys go on loving one another. You don't have to be offended. I won't talk about that subject no more. Don't leave. So anyway, never mind, guys. Number eight, let's bring this to an end. Number eight, you guys are like, "I ain't never coming back again. This is too much." Number eight, keep it private. Keep it private. Did I say that clear enough? Keep it private. Man, there's so many times that the wife runs out or the husband runs out. "Oh, we got to put it out on Facebook." It's like, are you kidding me? You have just poisoned your relationship. "Oh, let me go run and tell my mama because I got to just talk to my mama." You just poisoned your relationship. You're turning people against your spouse. Don't do it. Don't do it. You keep it private. You don't run to your best friend and say, "Oh, I just got to tell you what my wife did." Don't do it. "Oh, I got to tell you what my husband did." Don't do it. Because here's what you do. When you run to somebody on the outside and you start sharing your problems, you're opening the door for Satan to come in. And I'm going to tell you how Satan's going to come in. When you open that door up, Satan comes in the way of maybe the female you're telling all about your husband, maybe she sees value in him that you don't. And so you open that door for her to come in and make him feel better. Or, guys, you're blasting your wife and you're blasting your wife in front of your friends, and he thinks, "I can show her what real love is." And that door gets open and Satan comes in. You keep it private. Now, it's one thing to seek counsel, but most people aren't looking to seek counsel. You're looking to gossip. Keep it private. Have a resolution. Learn how to fight, guys, and this will be healthy. And it's okay to argue because no two people agree 100% all the time. It's not going to happen. But you need to learn how to fight. You need to learn how to fight fair. And I'm going to tell you, in the process of fighting, you should always be protecting your spouse. Always. That's first and foremost. Protect your spouse. Solomon offers some wise advice here in Proverbs 29, 9 through 10. Proverbs 29, 9 through 10 says this. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. The bloodthirsty hate the blameless, but the upright seek his well-being. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. I am telling you, you need to seek the resolution. You need to come together. You need to talk about it, and you need to leave everybody else out of it. One of the things my wife and I won't do, we will not argue in front of our children. Do you know why? We don't want to put our kids in that situation. We don't want to put our kids in a position where they feel they got to choose or they feel hurt or offended because I've said something to their mother or their mother said something to me. Don't argue in front of your children. Don't argue in front of anybody. It's between you and your spouse. It's between you and your friend. It is. Listen, you keep it right there. And if you can't bring resolution to it and you have to bring professional help in, then you do that. But you keep it private. People get hurt and they don't know what to do because, you know, we live in a time and a day where people don't even know how to fight fair. People aren't willing to fight fair. They don't care about fighting fair. All they care about is getting what they want, when they want it, the way they want it, and they don't care who they have to stab in the process to get it. And I'm telling you, we have lost the art of communication between each other. And I don't care if it's friend, I don't care if it's spouse, I don't care if it's children, if it's parents. Listen, there is a process that we have got to stick to so that we can continue to honor God and we can honor the person and bring resolution without the whole world knowing about it. Keep it private. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Did you get that? A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Do you know what that verse is telling you? Be quiet! Keep it to yourself. Keep it private, between you and the person. Bring in the professional help if you have to. I'm not telling you not to talk to anybody. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm telling you is, if you choose somebody to talk to, you got to make sure that you check your motives of why you're going to that person and talking to them. Check your motives. Do you really want resolution, or are you just going to slam somebody to talk about them, to make them look bad? What is your motive? Listen, if we're going to fight fair, guys, you got to follow these rules. You got to make sure that you stick to God's way and not your way. Proverbs 26:17 says this. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Now, that's kind of funny, isn't it? But God's not talking about a dog like mine. Because you can grab mine by the ears, and he'll just go, whatever he does. He won't argue. He won't bite. He won't do anything. He'll just kind of look silly. But you grab big old pit bull by the ears, or a big old German shepherd, or how about a mastiff? You know, one that can look you in the eye and like, hey, go ahead, I dare you. That's the kind of dog he's talking about. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a dog by the ears. He's saying you are asking for more trouble than you can deal with. Stay out of people's business. Keep your business. Because here's the truth. I've had people come and talk to me, and I've talked to them, and they'll ask me, and I've shared with them. And they're talking about their wife and everything, and I'll tell them, and I'm just telling you right up front, I tell them, I say, listen, you know, because they're like, well, my wife wants a divorce, blah, blah, blah. We're looking at divorce. And I'll tell the man, I'll say, listen, here's what I want you to do. You need to put yourself in a position where you protect yourself as well. Because we know the law favors women in most cases. And I'm not, listen, I'm not condemning or picking sides. I'm just telling you what I was sharing the information with this guy. And I said, you need to prepare yourself. Like, I mean, don't put yourself in a position where you have nowhere to go. You're broke. You have no money. and you need to put yourself in a position where you can still operate and function without the stress of trying to survive on top of it. And I said, but don't leave your wife out. I'm not telling you to shut her off and not take care of her. What I'm telling you though is be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. To which the husband goes and tells the wife that I said to abandon her. And this has really happened. To abandon her, to take all the money, to cancel all the credit cards, and to let her survive on her own. And well, what about the children? Well, obviously he didn't care about the children because he didn't say anything. And that really happened. And I went, wow, are you kidding me? And so then I had the wife contact me and go, Pastor, I never expected that from you. It's because it didn't happen. I am telling you, you keep your problems. And if somebody comes to you and wants advice, don't you dare pick a side. You tell them, I'll pray for you. And you end it. Oh, it's not, I'm telling you, don't pick a side. Because here's what will happen. They'll both turn against you when they fix their marriage. Amen? Anybody ever seen that happen? Listen, I get it all the time. They'll come and talk to me and I'll answer their questions. And I'll tell them, I'll give them sound advice. And next thing you know, they're both mad at me and leaving the church because I had turned against one or the other. And I didn't. It's just the way they interpreted it or the way they took it. And I'm going to tell you this. Don't pick a side. You just tell them you'll pray for them. And if you're the couple, be quiet. Don't share it. Don't throw your friend or your spouse out there, because somebody is going to condemn them, and it doesn't stop with the person that you told. Have you ever noticed that? I'm going to tell you something in secret, and you got to promise me you'll never tell another person. I promise I'll never tell anybody. Okay, fantastic. Before I get to the back of the room, everybody knows about it. Not because Joe would do that, but that's typically what happens. Right? Anybody? Yeah, anybody even? Be quiet. Keep it to yourself. Find professional help if you need professional help. But I am telling you, keep it private, because you may end up working it out and you don't want to have to deal with all this polluted relationships that you caused in the process. Amen? Keep it private. Rule number 8. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to examine your motives. I want you to fight fair. Because fighting and arguing is a fact of life. Why are you going into it, and what do you want out of it? And if it's anything other than godliness, you need to check yourself. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you, and Lord, may we truly learn how to fight fair. And Lord, may we have our discrepancies with others, Lord, whether it's our spouse, our friend, our boss, our schoolmate, Lord, whoever it is, Lord, may we apply these 8 rules of fighting fair to each and every situation. And Lord, if somebody can't fight fair with us, Lord, give us the strength to just step back and to be godly about the whole situation. But Lord, that we don't go and attack them because they're attacking us. But Lord, as Christians, as your children, we should have the wisdom, because we're seeking your face. Lord, we should have the wisdom to handle disputes in such a way that bring you honor and glory, and in such a way, Lord, that wins our friend or our enemy or our spouse. And so, Lord, help us to stay focused on you, Lord. Help us to look to you for the strength, for the guidance, for the wisdom, Lord, so that we would not be fools. And Lord, we would not be foolish. Lord, I thank you and I love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to grow in your grace on the subject of fighting. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.